Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you, and Oscar Ortega has joined us from Red Spruce. Red Spruce open
Red
up
Spruce.
Over at in the Forbidden Peak Brewery building.
Bay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Knock Bay.
Yeah.
So first of all, it's must be awesome to work in a brand spanking new kitchen, or is it a pain?
No, it's a blessing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, just I've seen the pictures and stuff, and I've been out there and sort of seen the stuff, and it's just everything shiny and bright and new.
Yeah,
and it looks
new
so
kitchens
great.
Are amazing, but what really hypes me up is that I had a lot to do with the setup of the floor plans and designing the flow of the kitchen. And
so it feels
so everything's
natural.
Just like, yeah, it's like seeing it come together and actually seeing it open, and everything's like new. You know, it's very... I'm just like, wow, I can't believe we're here.
Yeah, that's a rare kind of opportunity, right? To mm-hmm. be able to be someone who's not only helping design it, but then you're cooking in it.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the concept behind Red Spruce. It's an interesting thing because you're a restaurant located in a brewery, mm-hmm. right? You're kind of sharing space with a brewery.
Yeah.
So in one case, I would think that people must come in and go, oh, I want pretzels and chips and, you know, I want beer food.
Right.
But on the other hand, you guys, and I know Lionel, are, you know, do complex and interesting and all kinds of different influences come in. So tell me how you kind of are approaching that.
Okay. So I'm going to try to do this the best I can. I'm sure Lionel's going to say something later.
Yeah, this always happens, man.
Yeah. So the concept for Red Spruce is really... global street food. So a lot of the influences that are on the menu right now are coming from my personal travels out in South America and Lionel's travels out in like Southeast Asia. And we, as far as approaching the beer scene, I guess we're kind of more like trying to focus on kind of fun food, like carnival kind of thing.
You know, so when
like
you
that.
Say global, so it's, when you say street food, does that mean food you can eat with your hands while standing and walking around?
Sure.
Or does it – tell me your take on that.
I think it kind of changes really wherever you are. If you can be eating, I guess, street food. The other night we had a guest explain how the octopus they ate reminded them of walking in Greece and eating on the beach, right? And that's technically they said, oh, it was awesome. We were just walking on the beach and there's a random bonfire and you can order, you know, squid, octopus.
Right.
So I guess it just changes, really. It is, a lot of it is finger food, but we also don't – that's funny you say that because when we first were talking about the idea, we're like just fast food, simple bite food, but it's just been evolving.
Right. That's what I'm gathering is that mm-hmm. – and I would think that would happen. You're in a brand new space. It's a brand new venture. You and Lionel are cooking together. You know, like there's going to be evolutionary things that are going to happen, right? It's going to start – morphing mm-hmm. in that. And you're just in your first month of existence, so it's all brand new.
We just completed our first month yesterday, so congratulations to the team. You know, they're really the backbone of this, and you know, there's a lot to work with right now. So
are you already getting, are there already fan favorites or already things out there they're like, oh man, we run through a bunch of this every night?
Yeah, we recently just added wings because we needed something that was very, like, you know, that people can identify with the beer. So, but we did a like a Thai inspired wing, which is we call it heha, which in Thai means like we're going out or let's go out kind of
thing.
So it's a Thai party wing where it's very interesting. We blanch it in we blanch the wings in water, milk, and fish sauce. Which is very, you know, like every time I explain this to somebody, they're just like, what the heck?
Blanch it.
We blanch them and then we set them aside, let them cool down. Then we dredge them in tapioca starch and that's the beginning of the wing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then we serve it with a couple of sauces on the side.
So the wing, is the wing then deep fried?
And then it's deep fried. Yes, after dredge.
Right. So that's the real cooking happens then. But what does the blanching do? Seal in juices kind of stuff? Or does it give it a first marinade?
It's more of a very fast – it's serving as a marinade. You know, the fish sauce is very salty and, like, skunky, and it gives off – like, we barely have to, like, season the wings because of the blanch, you know. And the milk helps tenderize the meat. And the blanching itself is pulling the meat away from the bone, so they're easy to, like,
pull
the meat right off the bone after they're done.
Oh, that's an interesting – little secret to chicken to
wings.
Yeah,
we played around with it. We were trying a bunch of different things. Like, how can we make the best wing? And we, I don't know, must have eaten like 40 different types of wings.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And then you settle on this. And then, so that's that kind of had an immediate response once you started putting that on the menu.
People were like,
oh, yeah, wings.
Yeah, so we serve it in a size of 7 wings, and we call it the amateur order. And then we have a 21-piece, which we call it the party boy.
Okay.
Yeah, and people love ordering.
Right,
yeah, they're like, give me the party boy. Like,
and then what
go.
Kind of sauces on the side? Or is there stuff that is it meant to be dipped in sauces as they're eating them? Or,
yeah. We have 2 sauces, and they're – One of them is called Nam Prik Puya because we put a spin and added puya chiles, which is something that I'm very familiar with. So we took Thai
and cream. Are they particularly spicy or are they?
No, puyas are a little more sweet. They're not. There's not a lot of heat to them. They're dried. So we boil them to get them soft and then incorporate it with Thai ingredients such as like bird's eye chilies and fish sauce, tamarind water. Another sauce that we have that's very loose, we call it Prik Nam Pla. And it's very funny when people are asking about the sauces and they're kind of like, wait, why is it Nam Prik and then Prik Nam?
Right.
It's an interchangeable word out in Thailand. And that Nam Prik basically means chili water. And it just changes throughout the region. And every household has its own kind of, you know, hot sauce.
Yeah, so. Right. Yeah,
that's where the names come from.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So wings is one that's become a fan favorite. What are some of the kind of foundational dishes that you said, okay, we're going to definitely have these? I know that octopus is definitely something that you guys feature quite a bit, right?
Right. So the octopus is probably one of the favorites as well. People, every time they try it, they are surprised by the flavors, the tenderness of the octopus, and just how the cooking techniques that we use to cook the octopus, because the octopus looks like it's like we just took the tentacle right off the octopus. It's not falling apart.
Right.
So we cook it very, you know, there's a couple of different steps to get to that final product. And that's something that we're very proud of. You know, I'm very proud to see, you know, the little suckers on the tentacles all that. And the flavors are amazing. The harissa paste is made in-house as well. You know, we're scraping, and we're in there scraping the chiles and, you know, taking the flesh out of the chiles. It's a very long process and a lot of fun.
Yeah, right. So that's one. Uh-huh. Are there other ones that you guys have? I know that people have, I haven't had a chance to eat out there yet.
Okay.
But I keep getting reviews from people. One person said they had kind of a stew that was like, a lot of them, it seems like a lot of the dishes that you guys serve are based on servings for two and things like that as well. Is that something that was a kind of a philosophical take on what you guys wanted to do?
Yeah, we want to have people like feel like they're eating something interesting from a different part of the world, but also be able to sit down with a friend or a group of friends and have like these family style meals. So a lot of we do have a section on the menu that are like more shareables. We call them shareables.
Isn't there one where you just do a chicken?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do.
I love that.
It's just
Here's
a whole chicken.
Whole
chicken with condiments, house vinegars, hot sauces. And
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's like, well, that's enough for 6 people or something, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's,
it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
That's a favorite as well.
Yeah. So just here's a whole chicken. That's great. I mean, you must be the only restaurant in Juneau just serving out a whole chicken.
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
Man.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a really fun way. And like you say, like, when you're served something like that, that's really a centerpiece, it becomes a communal thing, right? Someone might cut it, or people are just kind of pulling
apart.
Right,
you're sharing,
and
it creates that atmosphere, you know, that I love. I like to cook, and I don't get to eat with my family a lot, but you know, I do. That's what it reminds me. That's why I started cooking, is because I would watch my grandmother and my mother cook, and everyone's at the table. You know,
did they have a tradition that they were cooking in?
As far as, I'm Mexican.
Okay.
I was born in Mexico. So yeah, we did a lot of, Mexican cooking.
Traditional Mexican cooking. Was it from a specific region, or is there a way that you would identify it regionally, or?
I guess, more coastal. So a lot of seafood. And then I have family down in Mexico City, which is also like a food mecca, and you just get to see all types of different cuisines all like come together. So.
Right. Yeah. Kind of amazing that, you know, I just often think, we in America say, oh, Mexican food, and then you realize, oh, it's this massive country that has all kinds of different little subsections of the kind of food that it's doing.
Right.
I mean, there's some basic ingredients that seem to be shared among most of the regions, but done in completely different ways.
Like rice, tortillas.
You know. But.
No, but yeah, I get it because, yeah, I spent a lot of time traveling out there when I was younger, and I got to, you know, every time I would go to a different area, I'd be like, oh, my God, the mole is way different over here than over there kind of thing, you know? So,
yeah, exactly, yeah. And you've also then based a lot of your work off of South American travels as well, or Central and South America as well?
Yeah, that's what I'm more, like, comfortable with. That's, you know.
You spent a lot of time there? Or?
I did. You know, I would, like, kind of take, three, 6 months
really,
breaks
just,
and
yeah.
just go out there and
just go and live it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Find, get food.
Yeah. Food, get into adventures.
Food, food and adventures. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, what's kind of the next steps for Red Spruce? What's coming up next, or what are sort of your next goals? I mean, you guys are kind of gearing up for tourism season, right? I would think. That's kind of the thing you're doing, right?
So, yeah, one big thing that I've been focusing on this whole month was kind of what is going to work, you know, what's going to be ideal for summer, because there's some things that we can't even keep up with. So that's really our next goal, is putting down a real well-formatted system for us to follow.
Just being, like, realistic about what you guys can keep up with, what you can
do.
Yeah, right. Because that must be sort of the yin and yang of cooking, right?
You want to do so much.
You know that you can do so much.
Exactly.
But you can only do so much.
Yeah. And you I'd stay up at night. I'm like, why am I doing so much? Like, but you can't help it as a chef sometimes. You know, you're looking at a plate and you're just like, I just got to add like two more things.
Right. It'll be perfect.
Yeah.
Right. Well, congratulations. It's so exciting that Red Spruce is open and that it's cranking along and people are loving it. People are loving the food. Yeah. And is there any people know anything about the hours or things like that? I think you guys are kind of more open. Was it three to?
So we open from 3 to 8.
3 to 8. Okay. Yeah.
Monday through Saturday, and we're looking to change our hours as we build a system and hire more people. And
I would think as the tourism season starts, there's going to be a big lunchtime demand, right? That's going to definitely be there. So.
Yeah, we're the only place that opens up right now on Monday, Tuesdays out there. But we're going to be doing lunch and brunch.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Cool.
Coming up soon. So,
yeah. A lot more work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more work ahead of you. Well, Oscar Ortega from Red Spruce, thanks so much for coming in, talking to us a little bit here on Foodie Friday. We love just talking to great chefs about the food they're making. And congratulations again on Red Spruce.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.